Hello and welcome to the Henriksen Podcast. Hello, and let's get right in to today's show. Giannis wins the Most Valuable Player Award for the NBA, well deserved. He is one of the best talents in the NBA currently, and he answered a call from greatness, you could say. Kobe replying to a tweet in 2017 of Giannis, "What's my next challenge?" And Kobe replied, "MVP." Greatness recognizes greatness, you could say. He's a humble young man too, so him getting the MVP means a lot for the league, and I like seeing that, and that's awesome to see. Everything about it. It was also pretty obvious that he was going to get it. Moment of the year, and only positive from the Wolves season, other than getting rid of Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, 50 points, career high, and that post-game interview will give you chills. Look it up. If you follow the NBA, you probably have already seen it. Timberwolves were rocking their old jerseys that night, too. When KG used to wreck the hardwood. God, KG was awesome. Derrick Rose also signs a 2-year deal with the Detroit Pistons. Best of luck. The NBA is seeking feedback from current franchises on alternatives to the regular season. That being the regular season in 2021 to 2022. Proposals may include play-in and mid-season tournaments and reduction in regular season games. Yeah, I'm all for it. Adam Silver and company keep thinking of different ways to make the NBA wants to say different from all the other the franchises, sports in the United States. And this would be one way. I don't know. He's got to think outside the box sometimes. And they're doing it or trying and doing it. And more on this going forward as long as the info surfaces. This is all talk right now. But I found it interesting. Woj bomb. Everyone loves to say that, so why not? D'Angelo Russell closes on a deal with the Golden State Warriors for a sign-and-trade. Iguodala out the door in the Bay Area. The asshat that Jimmy Butler is signs a sign-and-trade deal with the Miami Heat. He met with the Heat and the Rockets earlier today. Kyrie, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan to the Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie and KD taking pay cuts so DeAndre Jordan could reach a $10 million a year salary. What happened to the Knicks' plans? Remember that? Hey, we're going to get Zion and KD and Kyrie and none of them now. Love it. Love it, love it, love it, don't you? NBA is unpredictable. It is and it isn't. So much for that D'Angelo Russell coming to Minnesota charade. Even though multiple reports say him and his agent wanted it to happen. And he wanted a marquee player in, or not a marquee. Yeah, marquee player wanted to come and play here with Karl Anthony Towns. But money won't allow it. It was prevented. But remember that clown, Glenn Taylor? He looked Andrew Wiggins right in the eye, and he looked him in the eye before offering him that deal. Well, that look in the eye sent our franchise back again. Sell the damn team already, Glenn. You don't know what you're doing. Ugh. Enough is enough. Yes, I'm bitter. Cat will soon want out too if this doesn't get fixed soon. It's gonna happen. Who wanted out the first time? Who had discrepancies with Glenn Taylor back in the early 2000s? Or mid-2000s, whatever you want to say. Yeah, the ticket did. And where did he end up? Not in Minnesota anymore. Fix it. 6 years ago today, that being June 26th, Aaron Hernandez was arrested, charged with murder, and then released by New England. I honestly think he was released by New England right when he was arrested, because that's what the Belichick and the Patriots do. They don't deal with BS. They're just like, yeah, we're done with you. You're not that important. And we all know how that ended up for him. Let's go to a current case in the NFL. Tyreek Hill. The lovely father and now husband who likes to beat his kid and his then girlfriend fiance. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say how it is. Nate Taylor of The Athletic reports no more than a 4-game suspension for the punishment for Tyreek Hill, as this is the personal misconduct policy procedure. Well, the procedure sucks, because that's preposterous. Josh Gordon isn't in the NFL, but this clown is? Come on now. Open up your mind and open your eyes, folks. Fix this. And then get this. Kansas City hopes for a ruling by training camp. Just be glad you're getting your star receiver back. I'm moving on. Oh, I hope we find out. How about think of plans without him? Because that's what it should be. Oh, I'm bitter. Yeah, I'm bitter. Let's get the positive spin on it. LaDainian Tomlinson. I think his name rings a lot of bells. Dark visor. Bolts across the helmet. 28 rushing touchdowns in one season. 2006 season. The NFL 100. That man was a beast. No quitting him, ever. Whatsoever. Does this ever get broken? I mean, records are meant to be broken, but they're meant to be. Does that mean it's going to happen? I don't know. The NFL is different right now, so it's just, I don't know. I would say no. But there is one guy to do it. It's Saquon Barkley. But they like the pass now, so rushing touchdowns, remember? I don't know. But what he did that year was pretty incredible. Because I remember at a young age, young teenage, whatever, watching him for the Chargers. And then where I grew up, you had a little bit more of a connection. You see the lightning bolts crossing the helmets. Because where we grew up, a little town called Argyle, and Stephen Argyle was the high school. We were called the Storm, and we had lightning bolts on our helmets as well. So when you see the guy like doing that, and you're just like, yeah, that guy's cool. You still see Danny Thomas jerseys up there too. I see it all the time. Now you see Melvin Gordon ones. It's funny. They changed their helmet though, and I remember not a lot of people. I was bummed. I'm like, oh, really? We got to change our helmet now too. Kidding. Totally kidding that last part. Let's move on. So last week, I talked about the NFC North, as they were the top-ranked division in all of football, and so obviously the NFC. The next best division in the NFC is the NFC South. In my opinion, I don't know if it actually is, but this is just what I'm doing. So the NFC South. If you didn't know the NFC South, this NFC South team, the teams that contain is New Orleans Saints, Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The top team ranked in this division, I can't put Atlanta ahead yet. Got to see more. Even though on paper they're probably, maybe. But I have the Saints 1, Falcons 2, Panthers 3. Bucks 4. If Bucks had a different quarterback situation, they'd be maybe ranked higher, but that place is a mess. So we'll wait on that. We will wait on that. Best quarterback in the division, Drew Brees. Still. I mean, you can't. Yeah. Best running back, Alvin Kamara. You could go with Christian McCaffrey. If you argue that, I don't have a problem with that, but I think Kamara can do a little bit more with the running the ball aspect. I know McCaffrey's so versatile and so deadly as a receiver, but that's one thing. Kamara is deadly with both, so be a little different this year with Kamara though. No Ingram, So see how that goes, even though the first four games last year he was on a tear without Ingram. So I don't know. Who knows with him? Best wide receiver. Obviously Julio Jones. Best defense, Saints. Best offense, Falcons. Best wide receiver running back combo, Falcons. Yes, Michael Thomas is in New Orleans, but it's just Thomas and Kamara. You got Jones, Freeman, and Ridley. Okay. It's another one, too. Why am I forgetting his... Now it's bothering me. Of course I didn't write that part down. Silly me. Oh, pitiful me. Hot Lana. Why am I forgetting his name? It's bugging me. Beyond belief. It must not be that important. I can picture the number he wears. There we go. Oh my gosh, why couldn't I figure that out? Mohamed Sanu. Oh, that bugged me. I had to look it up. Now let's go to the fun part. So the most explosive player on each team. Now, I didn't do this last week, so I'll do the NFC North first. Green Bay, it's Aaron Rodgers. Detroit, Stafford's is not explosive, so I couldn't pick him. So I went with the receiver, Kenny Golladay. I went with the young guy. I almost went with Darius Slay, but defense isn't good enough all around to even, like, kind of... It's just hard. Chicago, Klomak. And another defensive end, the Minnesota Vikings, Danielle Hunter. You can argue one of the receivers, but if you have to argue one of the receivers, then the other one would be, like, you can't say Thielen and not say Diggs, and you can't say Diggs and not say Thielen, if you get what I'm saying. So I went with Danielle Hunter. Because why not? Now to this week's division. New Orleans, Alvin Kamara. Atlanta, Julio Jones. Carolina, Luke Kuechly. That's a linebacker, middle linebacker, if you weren't familiar. And Tampa Bay, Mike Evans. Look at me. Mike Evans. Speaking of him, though, don't draft him in fantasy. It's not because it's him. It's because that offense is a goddamn mess. It's not consistent enough. He's still good. He's just not. I'm talking top tier. Top tier. Next week's division will be the NFC West. I'll go through that. Because that's the next best one. And then the NFC East will be after that. And then I'll bunch up the AFC ones together. I'll do the North and the West together, and I'll do the West and the East together. Not the West and East, my bad. The East and the South. Oh, I'm tripping over my own words. Next segment, we'll be having MLB All-Star Talk. Just some fun MLB talk until we get into the Twins later. So let's get to it. Hello and welcome back. So, the MLB had two teams go to London this year. The London series was kicked off this past weekend at Wembley Stadium between the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. New York swept the two-game set and showed off its prowess by hitting the long ball continuously and scoring a lot of runs. They scored 29 runs. And that's why they also are atop the American League now, just above the Twins and the Astros. We'll move more on the playoff picture later. First, I want to get into the All-Star game. So the AL and the NL announced their starters after the ballots were posted.
Gary Sanchez is your starting catcher from the Yankees. Carlos Santana is your starting first baseman from the Cleveland Indians. DJ LeMahieu is the starting second baseman from the New York Yankees. Yours truly, Jorge Polanco, is your starting shortstop from the Minnesota Twins. Alex Bregman, your starting third baseman of the Houston Astros. Mike Trout, your top vote getter, is your top outfielder. He'll probably start in center. Los Angeles Angels. George Springer, outfield, Houston Astros. He'll probably play in right field. And Michael Brantley will probably play in left field, outfielder, Houston Astros. And your starting designated hitter is Hunter Pence of the Texas Rangers. To the National League starters. Catcher, Wilson Contreras, Chicago Cubs. Your starting first baseman is Freddie Freeman from the Atlanta Braves. He's got a great swing. I like him a lot. Ketel Marte is your starting second baseman of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Javier Baez, your starting shortstop for the Chicago Cubs. Nolan Arenado, you're the best third baseman in the Major League Baseball, is your starting third baseman for the Colorado Rockies. Christian Yelich, outfield, Milwaukee Brewers. Ronald Acuna Jr., outfielder, Atlanta Braves. And Cody Bellinger, outfielder, Los Angeles Dodgers. So it came out. They listed the reserves this afternoon, that being Sunday afternoon. Your only other Twins player making the All-Star game is Jake Odorizzi. Berríos did not make the cut, and neither did any of the guys who passed the primary ballots. Crone, Cruz, or Rosario did not make. But three players from the Chicago White Sox are in it. What? They've lost more games than they've won. It's stupid.
That's so dumb.
I don't know how Berríos isn't in the All-Star game. That's the one that really bugs me. And, yeah, Crone's not a backup. He finished third in the first place votes, but he's not the backup, though. Voigt and Vogelbeck are the reserves for first base. I'm just going to stop guessing why. Who knows? Who knows? Royce Lewis will be in the Futures game. Representing the Twins is also another player. Balavich. Royce Lewis, though. See his name circling around. He's being honored in the Futures game for the All-Star Week. So good for him. There's some more Twins players getting some notice. Maybe they'll just have to just win the pennant. You know what I mean? Then maybe they'll actually get taken seriously. I mean, that's actually a good reason, though. You do have to win stuff to get taken seriously. So I kind of green with that in a weird way. I don't know. I don't like seeing three players from the White Sox make the All-Star game, though. Yeah. They lead the Central, and whatever. I'm not going to get into it. We're going to get into the American League and National League playoff picture. And this goes as follows. The New York Yankees, with a win this morning, are 54-28 with a game lead over the Minnesota Twins at 53-29, and then Houston is 53-32. Twins and White Sox were in a rain delay, so that game has not gone final. It looks like the White Sox will win. Chicago's up 4-0. Giolito had a pretty good start, but I don't think he's in again because it was the top of the sixth when the delay started, so I don't think either starter went back in. It's in the seventh inning now, and the Twins might not win the series. Not looking good, but you took one in Chicago, I guess. We'll take that. Tampa Bay takes a two-game lead over the other wild card spot with a win over that said team, the Texas Rangers. They're 48-36, and the Rangers are 46-38, followed by Oakland and Cleveland and Boston looming behind. In the National League, your Los Angeles Dodgers are 56-29 only a good marginal cushion against the Braves that are next, are 50-34 leading the East, and then the Central is led by, the tiebreaker is going to the Cubs right now at 45-39 over the Milwaukee Brewers, so you can assume that Milwaukee is your top wild card, which they are, and then Colorado is right behind at half a game, and then there's just a bunch of teams, a big mess behind all that. It goes Philadelphia, and then San Diego, and then Washington, and then Arizona, and then St. Louis, and then, yeah. So that's fun. Not going to see a lot of change with this. I'm intrigued how the NL Central is going to shape up this second half of the year. Got about, I'd say, a lot of teams have 8 games until the break. 7, 8 games, something like that. And then even a bigger thing happening right after the break, about a week before the trade deadline, the Yankees and the Twins will be facing off in a 3-game set at Target Field. Now let's get to the Twins now. Let's get to it now. Go sweep them. Yeah, that's asking way too much. But why not? Go sweep them. Shut everyone up. Yes, we don't have the best winning percentage now in the American League. We're also not healthy. The Yankees are, minus Giancarlo Stanton. He went down again. But they got their boys back. They got Judge and Gregorius back. Gregorius homered again today. So, halt on that. We're not healthy right now. We're making a bunch of roster moves. Speaking of healthy, Byron Buxton's back today. Back this weekend. And then today, he had a great catch. I believe it was in the third inning. Oh, no. Made it look very easy, and it was not an easy catch. And, yeah, that's Byron Buxton for you. That is Byron Buxton for you. So before we get into the Twins next segment, I want to talk about this a little bit. So 81 games into the season, Twins had 52 wins. That was a Saturday morning. In 1970, they had 54, 65, 52, and then obviously this year, 52. It's only 2 games off the franchise record. In 1970, that was the same year as 54 wins, they had the plus 122 run differential. This was as of Saturday morning, like I said. 2019, 107 run differential, and then 1992, they had a 106 run differential. More roster moves. We're a little banged up, like I said. Buxton and Gonzalez got reactivated this past weekend from the injured list, but Rosario headed to the injured list. Andrianza's back as well. Twins are 43-19. I repeat, Twins are 43-19 when Buxton is in the lineup, compared to 10-10 when he isn't. I think we know the common denominator at this point. But he was going to strike out too much. Remember that? He was going to strike out too much. Yep, too much. No, couldn't have him. Couldn't have him on the team. He needed to go down to... He needed to be in the minors. Or better yet, traded. Yeah, God, it's annoying. Hey, look at all the people about Sano, too. I mean, yeah, I ripped on him. I didn't want him gone, though. How many people have quieted up now? Yeah, that's what 4 home runs in 3 days does, or whatever. He's done. Just calm down. Dude needs to figure it out still. I'm talking about Sano. You still need to figure it out. You're batting 210. That's puke. Come on. Figure that out. You're batting 195 entering Friday night's game. That's just preposterous, man. I'm going to still rip into you. Because I know, other than Buxton, the most potential resides in number 22. So, calm it down. Next segment, we're going to get into another young player, a rookie, who's... basically shows you probably can't send him down again. So let's get to it. Hello and welcome back. Let's get into another young Twins player. A rookie, Luis Arias. So, he's hitting a staggering 520 in the month of June. And 22 for 49, 449 batting average through his first 17 games as a Twin. Yeah, he's pretty good. He's proven he can hit. He's done it more than once, second time up, and he's still doing it, and he's even doing it better this time. You can't afford to send him down, in my opinion, but who do you send down once Rosario's off the IL? I mean, it's either him or Adrianza, because it's not Gonzalez. Gonzalez is too important. Yeah, it's not even a thought. So, I mean, who do you... Do you send down the veteran, Adrianza, or do you move him? Do you trade him? Is Adrianza in a trade during the deadline? Is he involved in a trade? Because it's not... I don't think you can afford to... Yeah, I don't know. It's a good problem to have, though. Great problem to have. So, Max Kepler homers twice Saturday for the Twins, hitting his 20th and 21st home run. This makes some Twins history. Kepler and Rosario both have 20-plus. Kepler having 21, Rosario having 20. They are the second pair of Twins to record 20-plus home runs before the All-Star break. And we're still 10 days away. Joining Harmon Killebrew and Bob Allison in 1964. That's some good company to be with. A year later, that team won the pennant with those players. Did lose to the Dodgers in 7 games in the World Series that year, but you won the pennant. That's some real good company. I see a pennant in this team's future as well. Do I think it's this season? Get more pitching. I don't know. But what I do know is this, though. The Twins are 14-11, or were 14-11 at the same time the Indians were entering the weekend at 16-9 during this month. And I find this interesting. This is via Gleeman and the Geek. This is the best record the Indians have posted all year in a month, and this is the worst record the Twins have posted all year in a month. So before the run, so before June had started and before the Indians went on a 16-9 tear to start the month off, they actually had a better chance to win the division than they do now. It's gone down slightly, like a couple percentages. I mean, when you use 25% of your schedule to only make up a game and a half of ground, and now 2 days, I mean, after the weekend, they are 2.5 up on, because as they are 8 back, not 9 back in the division. But if the Twins play 500 ball the rest of the season, Cleveland will have to play at 100-game pace to even have a chance of winning the division. You have to win 62%. Oh, thinking too fast. 62% of their games they have to win the remainder of the year just to have a chance. And that's if the Twins play 500. That's if we just play 500 the rest of the way. And that's... I think we're just fine. Barring an epic collapse, of course, but we're just fine. Let's do a weekly box score before we get into some more. So, Monday was off. Tuesday, they started a 3-game set with the Tampa Bay Rays. Twins won 9-4. Garver went 3-for-5 with 3 RBIs, 2 runs, and a home run. Rosario 4-for-5, 2 RBIs, and a double. Astudillo 3-for-4 with a run and RBI. Scope 1-for-3 with a walk and a home run. He golfed his home run, too. Gibby goes 7 innings pitched, 4 runs, 4 earned, 7 Ks, 1 walk. Harper and Duffy hold in the pen with 2 innings pitched, 0 earned. Gibson's ERA stays roughly around the same. I think he just went up a couple points, 4.26. Wednesday's game. Twins win 6-4. Arias 2-for-3, 2 runs. Cruz 3-for-4, 3 RBIs with a big base-clearing double to give the Twins the lead and eventually the win. I think that was in the 7th inning. And Rosario went 2-for-2 with an RBI before exiting the game, and hence why he's now on the injured list. It's an ankle sprain. High ankle sprain, whatever. Odorizzi went 5 1/3, 4 hits, 3 earned, 7 Ks, 2 home runs he's given up. Calm down, bud. Go back to what you were doing. Calm down. Take a deep breath. The thing I don't like is seeing the home runs again. CRA is 2.73. May with the win, Rogers with the save, ending the third innings. 1 1/3 innings pitched for Rogers, and that's his 10th save of the year. Thursday's game. Twins went for the sweep. End up being a marathon game. Goes 18 innings. The bullpen went 11 innings pitched, 5 hits, 3 earned, 5 walks. During those 11 innings pitch after Perez was 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, 206 Ks. I'll take that. Dropping the area down to 4.15. Does get no decision, obviously.
Rays win 5-2. Polanco goes 2-for-7 with a run and a walk. Arias 3-for-7 with an RBI. A lot of offers. The well-pitched game on both sides until the bullpen. You knew it was going to happen. One bullpen was going to get one of them was going to give up a lot of runs, basically. Not a lot, but they gave up 3 in the top of the 18th, and Tampa Bay ends up winning. Just got to tip the cap. We won a marathon game a week prior against Boston, and now we lose a marathon game against Tampa Bay. Two good teams, too. Boston's out of the playoffs right now, yeah. They're just right out, and Tampa holds the top wild card spot. So it's... And we go 5-2 this season against Tampa Bay. I'll take that. Especially when you have to go play at that dump of a stadium they call an actual baseball field. Yes, I will give them crap about that. You have money. Figure it out. There's talk that they're going to do the whole Montreal thing in Tampa Bay. Like, they're going to do two. I don't know how that's going to work logistically. So, if I was playing for the Rays, that would be like, yeah, I don't want that to happen. If you can agree with a player on that aspect, I don't think you would want that to happen. You have two home, and you don't really have a home stadium, then it's just back and forth. Like, the first half of the season's in Tampa, second half of the season, yeah, gross. That's just a mess. I'm trying to think of something. Get out of that city, though. I don't know. I get, yeah. Build a stadium like Miami. I know Miami had the investment and they had the money. They had, yeah. In Tampa Bay, it's been a while now. They're trying to do renovations to that. It's just a gross. Everything about that Tropicana Field is just disgusting. It's awful. I don't like anything of it. And this was the same. I had the same feeling about the Metrodome. Metrodome's it's not a perfect spot for football, but it was a really good place for the Vikings to play. It was awful for the Twins to play, though. Let's just be honest. That was not a baseball field. Not a baseball field, okay? A baseball should never be hitting a catwalk. It shouldn't. Baseball's meant to be outside. Or in a stadium that actually is an indoor one, like the Miami Marlins have, and you don't have problems like that. I know it's more modern, so it's just, I'm nitpicking now, but... No, we got off topic. Let's get to the White Sox series. So Friday, White Sox win 6-4. Kepler goes 2-for-5. Andreanza 2-for-3, 2 runs. Sano, 2-for-3 with two-run home runs. And he strikes out 0 times. Brios, 7 1/3, 9 hits, 6 runs, 3 of them earned, 5 Ks. His ERA slightly goes up to 2.89. Saturday, Twins get the bats out. Twins win 10-3. Kepler 2-for-5, 2 home runs, like I said earlier, 2 RBIs. Polanco 2-for-4, 3 runs. Cruz 4-for-5, 5 RBIs, 2 home runs. Sano 1-for-3 with a walk, no strikeouts, 2-run home run. Caster 2-for-4. Sano's series is going pretty well. The best, most impressive hit he did happened on Sunday's game, though. Pineda goes 6 innings, pitch 4 hits, 1 earned, 8 Ks. Weird start to the game, though. Thought he was going to go get chased right away, but he settled down, and I like to see that. Bullpen goes 3 innings, pitch 3 hits, 2 earned, 2 runs, 1 of them earned, and yada, yada, yada. Sunday's game. So they went 5 quick innings, and then the rain came. That made Thorpe and Giolito exit early. Pretty good pitching duel right away. Only bad thing I'd say was Thorpe had a guy on. Hits happened, but then he gave up the 2-run bomb to Yoan Moncada, and... You pitched another inning after that, and the rain came, like I said. Bullpen, Gostarini's pitch, 5 hits, 2 earned, 3 Ks. Nah. Yeah. The bullpen does a job. The Twins would have won today, but that's hindsight. Cruz goes 1-for-4 with a 2-run home run, and it's, I mean, if you're watching the game, the pitcher pitches it. It's not a bad pitch. Low fastball at the knees inside. Cruz has just got the bat on the ball. Got his hands down there quick enough and was ready for it. And the pitcher just puts his head down like, yeah. Like, hello, darkness, my real friends. This cues in his ear, probably. And then Sano goes 1-for-2, pinch hit, and then he has another bat later. But he has a pinch hit RBI single. Goes the other way with the pitch. 2-strike count. That's what I like to see. He strikes out 0 times a series. I see that more going forward. I don't care if... You can go 1-for-4 in games, but it's when you go 1-for-4 with a double and then it's 3 strikeouts. I don't like that. He'd strike out 0 times. He had 3 home runs this series. And then he goes oppo on today's game. And a pinch hit at bat. He goes oppo. sneaks it through the hole, goes with the pitch. Thank you. Do that moving forward. Speaking of moving forward, let's talk about Twins. 8 games up on Cleveland. We're looming around the break. And I think, I want to say our first series is a road series with the Cleveland Indians right after the break. Mm-hmm. Like I said, baseball gets real good after the break, especially after the deadline. Gets real, real good. Do I think they win the Central? Yeah. Do I think they take the top spot in the American League? Got to get healthy quick, and you got to get more pitching. I don't know yet. Yankees are getting hot. Which I knew the whole time. If you've been paying attention, I said, well, you know, watch out for the Yankees when they get healthy, and here we go. I think they're at the 31-game mark with that home run record now. Didi went deep this morning, yesterday morning, against Boston in the Wembley Stadium, the London series. It looked pretty spectacular, if I'm being honest. That looked pretty cool, the Wembley, how they did the Wembley Stadium. Tip the cap to the MLB there. Yeah, so the Twins are more than likely going to face Houston in the first round. More than likely is going to happen. We fared well against them this year, 4-3. So if it goes chalk the rest of the way, we would face them, and we would have, right now we would have the top spot in this divisional series. So games 1, 2, and 5 would be in Minneapolis. As you can tell, I'm talking about playoffs right now because the season's way too long. And it needs to be, October. I'm just going to be real. It needs to be October. But another thing I wanted to bring up, I was watching, this is back to Boston, New York. I was watching Boston, New York this morning. This is also relating to the Twins and Astros. The guy that was the color analyst just started talking nonchalantly like, yeah, and New York's just got to get ready for the potential ALCS with Houston. I'm like, dude, do you pay attention to anything? The team that's struggling of the three division leaders in the American League is Houston right now. It's not the Twins. Twins aren't even struggling. They're still playing above 500 in this stretch. I know you want the New York-Houston thing again. I get it. Star power. George Springer, Jose Altuve, Justin Verlander. I get it. And the Yankees are self-explanatory themselves. I don't even have to explain it. But don't say it like that. Say it like you know what you're talking about. Don't say it because the Yankees and Astros are what people want. I'm not even going to nitpick. I'm not even going to say what he should have said, because I think we all know what he should have said. He shouldn't have said that. It got me going, because they're already counting us out because we're finally on a tailspin. But we're not healthy either. That's a bad excuse, though. We got a lot of our good players. Still kind of bitter about the whole All-Star game bit, even though I don't really care. Who cares? Cruz is still hitting home runs, and he'll hit them all year in the playoffs. Maybe he'll be a playoff MVP. If there was one player to pick, though, if we did have like a good AL playoffs and like did get to the World Series... If the AL playoff MVP, if you had to pick one then for the Twins, I mean, I'd pick Buxton, Cruz, or Polanco probably, just off the top of my head, or Kepler. Probably Buxton, though, because if Buxton hit well in the playoffs, which he should if he keeps trending the way he is, he probably would potentially be the MVP. We have to win, obviously. Yeah. It just makes sense because he does all around defensively, running bases. He can hit, yeah. Stretch singles into doubles. Like, come on, I mean. Oh, speaking of Buxton being amazing, though, the catch he had today? Yeah, phenomenal. He makes it look so easy, too. Like, he's running, you can tell he's running fast, but, like, it's like he's slowing everything down when he's doing it because he catches the ball and it's just like he braces himself by the wall and it's just like, yeah, okay. Third out of the inning, it's going to the dugout now. Like, good for you, bro, but, like, you don't have to be that good. No, I'm kidding. Be that good. Be always that good, Byron Buxton. But he was going to strike out too much. The whole team was, but him especially. Him and Cruz especially. Yeah, Cruz, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's really having a tough time at the plate this year, right, guys? He has 16 home runs. He's batting roughly .280. And he missed a month. And he has 16 home runs. I'm just going to digress from there. Yeah. It's fun. It's fun. Also, this came up later this afternoon. I missed it on the earlier segments. Derrick Rose. I brought him up earlier in this podcast. But he signs a 2-year contract with the Detroit Pistons. Not surprising. We weren't going to keep him. Rosas wasn't... Yeah, nothing going to happen. But does anything happen? Because word came out. D'Angelo Russell was in town tonight. That being Sunday night. Meeting with the Wolves. So... maybe some things are brewing in the Twin Cities. We just don't know yet. Just don't know yet. But what I do know is that the Twins are winning. I mean, not winning at the pace they were in May, but they're still winning. And July is upon us, and so is the trade deadline. And then we have October baseball looming. So things are good. They have an 8-game lead. They're 53-30. I don't think they're slowing down. Maybe slowing down a little bit, but not slowing down as a whole. So, thanks again for listening. It means a lot. Hope everyone enjoyed the show. And have a great day.